Hello everyone, welcome to this exclusive interview series with some of the world's top sales experts, where we're talking about what it takes to succeed in sales today. I'm Michelle Davidson, editor at Rain Group, and today I welcome Jill Conrath. Jill is a sales strategist, speaker, and author. Her books include Snap Selling and Selling to Big Companies, and she has a new book due out in May titled Agile Selling. So welcome, Jill. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I always like to be with the Rain Today group.
So I was thinking about how sales has changed over the past years, and it's probably changed more in the last decade than probably the previous three. So what used to work no longer does work. So when you got started in sales, what universal advice did you receive, and how has that changed?
Well, when I first started, I was at Xerox Corporation, and I remember being trained in our local branch office, and there were a couple of things that we were specifically instructed to do or not do. And I remember the very first day of training, Frank Leone literally got up to the flip chart and wrote the word assume on it and divided it into three different words, ASS-U-ME, and told us that as salespeople, we must never, ever assume because it made an ass out of you and me. And that stuck with me for decades. But that was something you should never, ever do. So that was one thing. The other thing that I remember clearly is that I was told that sales was a numbers game, and it was just a function of you go make the calls, and all that rejection that you got, every bit of rejection no you got was just one step closer to the yes. And that was pounded into us. And to tell you the truth, I never bought into that one because it really wasn't true at the deepest core. But it actually was some of the common knowledge about what it took to be successful.
So that's changed for you. So that
yes.
Is a numbers game is not something that you do.
Oh, no. Certainly that there is you have to make some calls, but sheer quantity does not make up for bad quality.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't got the right messaging that's focused on your buyer and is good, you're not going to be successful no matter how many calls you make. I mean, to me, that's absolute stupidity that you would keep doing something that is not delivering the results.
Right. Okay. So when you look at what sellers are doing today, what are the things that the most successful sellers are doing that sets them apart and puts them a cut above the rest?
They're doing a lot of things, and it's really exciting to me when I run into sellers who are really good at their profession because what they look like is that they look like they're effortless in what they're doing, and it doesn't feel one bit at all like selling. But I think that's because of the practices that they have in place that make them very different people than the average salesperson. For example, when I work with top sellers, and in my experience for many years of working with top sellers, they have one skill, one discipline that they do that other sellers don't. And that simple discipline is that they look at everything that they do through the lens of their customer. So whether they're making a phone call, sending out an email, doing a presentation, entering into negotiations, before they enter into these meetings, they literally put themselves in their customer's shoes and they review what they're planning to do and say, if I were my customer, would this, you know, be of interest? Would this capture my attention? Would this make me want to do business with the firm? Would this focus on something that I'm concerned about? So they're constantly viewing what they personally are doing through their customer's eyes, and they're making adjustments and changes to it before they actually implement whatever it is. As a result, they're much more in sync with their customers because they have really totally analyzed what they're doing. They're thinking all the time about that. So one thing that I see that sets successful sellers apart, I think another thing that I see is that they focus on making a difference, and they're not trying to sell their company's products or services. They're trying to help their customers achieve their objectives and goals or eliminate their problems using their product or services. It's a fundamental difference because the focus is on the customer and what they're trying to get to versus their own personal goals of achieving quota or selling a certain number of boxes or having a big enough contract that'll keep them in business for another year. So their whole focus is on their customer, and it's about making a difference more than selling. And I guess I'd say the third thing that I see that really sets them apart is that they actually realize that they are the differentiation. You know, a lot of people say, well, how do I sell my products or services are just about like everybody else's, or you could go online and you could find a gazillion other companies just like me. You know, why would anybody buy it? We're not cheaper. And what I see with top sellers is they say, well, yes, my product and service, you know, may be similar to other people's, and my price points too. I may even be more expensive, but the real difference here is me and the ideas and insights that I can bring my clients in terms of how to run a better business, how to achieve their goals better. So they do recognize that it's all about them being worth meeting with and being worth in a relationship with.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned something at the beginning about how they make it look effortless. And that reminds me of a lot of things, like even dancers or editors even, or writers. You know, what they do when they're doing it looks effortless, but there's a lot of practice that goes into it, a lot of back work that goes into that.
You know, I love Dancing with the Stars. And when I see those pros dancing beautifully, they look wonderful. And even as the season goes on, as you see the stars who are learning to dance, when you see what they do when they get to the dance floor on the competition night, they flow and they look beautiful. But then what I really love is when they show the early practices that week and how bad everybody is. And you just see how continued dedication and focus on your craft truly does make a difference. And they spend hours to achieve the perfection that looks effortless.
Right. I was wondering if there was any big aha moment that you or someone you've worked with has had that's made a big difference for them.
I think, you know, for me, when I work with my clients, and I'll just give clients in general, but one of the things I always do when I'm working with them is I do a role play where I play the role of their targeted customer. And we show a morning in the life of Jill Conrath, the person that you're trying to reach. And they're involved with improv, too, and it's a lot of fun, and we show the chaos that's going on in my office. And then the second half of the role play is where the people in the group I have to call and leave me a voicemail message. And they're asked to leave the standard message that they would leave if they were trying to reach a specific prospect. And what I do when I'm listening to those messages now is as soon as I get bored with the people's message, I delete them. Mm-hmm. And so somebody will say, hi, Jill, this is John Smith. I'm with XYZ Company. And the reason I'm calling today is, and I'll just yell out, delete. And I'll go through a number of different messages from the different people that are in the training program, and they are shocked that I have deleted them. They're actually shocked because they feel like they've crafted a good message. They feel like I'm initially being rude. And then we stop and we say, whoa, you just saw how busy my day was because I showed you in the morning in the life of Jill Conrath, your targeted customer, and yet you left me this message. How would you have felt about it if you were crazy busy and had a gazillion other things to do and meetings to run to? Would you have deleted yourself? And they suddenly wake up and they go, oh my God, I would. Mm-hmm. You know, I never got to the point. I didn't focus on anything that was of value to you. You know, I just got to the point where we specialize in, and I sounded like every other salesperson that called. And it's a real aha moment when people suddenly realize that what they've been doing to try to sound nice, to be a good sales rep who's not pushy, is totally and grossly ineffective in helping them achieve their goal of having a meeting with somebody. And they haven't focused on making the difference. They haven't focused on helping the customer achieve the objectives. Instead, they sound 100% deletable and totally boring.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay. Now, we talked about a lot of things that you see people doing well, that salespeople are doing well and having success with. But if you could boil it down to one piece of advice, what would you give to a seller looking to succeed today?
Well, I'm going to switch gears on you and move over into an area that not a lot of people are talking about, but something that I believe is absolutely essential. When I wrote Snap Selling, which is all about how to sell to today's crazy, busy, frazzled prospects who can find out everything online, when I wrote that, people read it and said, oh my goodness, Jill, this is just so helpful in understanding what I need to change in order to be successful today. And then they looked at me and they said, but Jill, I am crazy busy too. I'm crazy busy too. I have so much going on. How can you help me? It was an interesting question. And at first, I thought they were asking about time management skills,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how to be more productive. And the truth be told, that is not my greatest strength. And so I literally said, well, there's nothing I can do for you because I don't teach time management and things like that. But the question kept coming up. You've told me how to deal with crazy busy customers. How do I deal with myself? I am crazy busy too. And so I kept saying to myself, what's going on here? What's going on here? And then I realized that salespeople today are constantly in a world of new. They're taking a new sales position. They're being promoted to bigger accounts. They're selling new products that come out. They go into new market segments. They're working with this particular market segment. Suddenly the economy goes bad, and all these things are happening, and they're trying to keep up and do their job. And the reality is, with all that new stuff coming their way, they have to learn. They have to quickly learn how to absorb new information, and they have to adjust their skills in order to deal effectively with the changing market conditions. And so when people say to me, what is really the underlying skill that people, you know, if it boiled down to one piece of advice, I would say that what you have to do is you have to learn how to be a rapid learner. You have to learn how to take that information in quickly and get it in your brain so you can use it. And you have to learn how to learn new skills quickly. And what that means you have to do is you have to learn how to learn, which nobody teaches you ever.
No, they don't.
Ever. And what happens in companies is, you know, anytime there's something new, for example, you get the new product, everybody goes, oh, here's the new product, and we're going after these and their customers and everything you need to know about it, and here's how to configure it, or, you know, here's the data sheets, here's the cool brochures, here's the PDFs, here's a case study. Go get them, guys, you know? And that's what they say, and it's like, go get them. Well, what happens is the salespeople, they're overwhelmed. They haven't stopped to think about how to best approach it. They don't know how to say things, and they go out there and they screw up, and they get, you know, run into obstacles right away. But that's because they haven't figured out how to quickly immerse themselves in this information. What do they absolutely need to learn first? What's essential for now? What can wait till later? How do they take this information now and leverage it most effectively from a sales perspective? And it's all about learning.
Mm-hmm.
And when you focus on learning how to learn, what you do is you shorten your path to proficiency in virtually everything you're doing. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a master skill. It's like a super overriding skill that if you learn how to learn, you can learn golf better. You can learn, you know, downhill skiing better. You can learn rocket science better.
It sounds a little challenging, especially if you've gone through your, you know, your high school career, your college career, and you've never learned how to learn. Can you do it yourself? Can your company help you? Do you get outside advice?
Well, the answer to that is yes, yes, and yes, but I don't think many companies are focused on, we're going to create a learning culture here,
right.
You know, and we're going to help everybody learn. I mean, so many, especially in the SMB, small, medium business market, I mean, nothing like that is going on. So the bulk of the responsibility falls on the role of either the first-line manager of these people to create a learning environment and to give them the tools and the onboarding process, or if it's not the new rep, you know, to create the culture where everybody's learning all the time, whether it's we're going after the new market or we're, the economy just tanked, what do we do now, you know. But it becomes that person's job to do that, but they're not ready to facilitate it. So it's kind of like a vast open field of, there's not a lot of information out there, and yet there's a huge amount of body of research going on in neuroscience talking about what it takes to learn and how we have to be disruptive in our, we have to stop ourselves from going down paths, we have to deliberately stop ourselves because our brain is a pattern-making instrument and it wants to systematize everything as fast as humanly possible. It doesn't want to change because it's trying to conserve energy. So if somebody wants to master being a learner, it becomes their own personal challenge. And it should be one that they tackle, because if they can learn how to learn, they can go into any new position. Whether they leave sales, move into, you know, leadership positions, whatever, the person who is the better learner will be the most successful. And by the way, there's research that supports that. Korn Ferry, which does a lot of work on onboarding people, just had an article that I was reading today in LinkedIn Pulse, and it said that learning agility is the most crucial determinant of executive success. Now, that was executive. I'm talking sales success, too.
Mm-hmm. So that leads me to your book, which is called Agile Selling. So is this something that you cover in your book?
No, Agile Selling is really about how to be an agile learner so you can be successful in this changing world.
Okay.
It's really about how to be quick in bringing in this, in the uptake of new information, be flexible in your ability to deal with the changes that you confront on a regular basis, the ability to nimbly, try new skills and to not be afraid of trying something new. Again, our brain is a system-making machine. It doesn't want to do something new. New things are scary. But in reality, the better we get and the more we try doing things new and put ourselves in that situation, it's literally a muscle that we can develop. So if we just think of it as like it's not you either are or you aren't, it's just a muscle that needs development and that there are certain things that you should be doing, like you should be eating a proper diet, when you're trying to physically get in strength. There are certain things that you need to do that make learning easier, and there are absolutely learning strategies that will make you much more successful in your uptake of information or your new learning of skills.
Mm-hmm. And one thing you say in your book is that agile sellers see problems differently.
Yes.
So I wonder if you can explain that. How do they see problems differently?
Oh, I just had a wonderful conversation about that with a client this morning who was talking about one of their sales leaders who came to him when he got his budget for the year and said, man, I just don't know. This budget, this is 20% higher than last year, and we struggled to get it last year, and there's just no way that we're going to be able to make our numbers this year. I just don't see a way. That's somebody who's looked at the problem he's facing and defined it simply as a problem. Oh, my goodness, there's not a way out. Now, what that does, and again, we tie in some neuroscience here, what that does then is it actually releases bad hormones into your body. And these bad hormones put you under stress, and when you're under stress, your brain doesn't think as well. So here you are, when you have a problem that, is harder than you're used to dealing with, one perhaps that you don't see the solution of, and your brain is literally shutting down on you, giving you less advice than it would under a normal circumstance. So what agile sellers are doing is they don't live in the world of problems. They live in the world of challenges. And so they'll take that problem. Our sales, I have a 20% increase in sales that I have to get this year. And they'll say, rather than saying, oh, cripes, that's a real problem, they'll say, how can I do it? I'm going to give myself a challenge. How can I do it? What other ways can I do? What else can I try? And they'll literally set their brain in motion by asking a lot of questions because they're challenging their brain to find a solution. And again, brain research shows that anybody's brain cannot resist a challenge. If the minute you issue it a challenge, especially in the form of a question, how can I? It goes out and starts looking for advice, and it starts drawing your eyes to something that you would never have noticed before. You might be reading an article, and something in that article suddenly triggers another thought that you'd never thought about before. But your brain is it's a heat-seeking missile at that point. I've got a challenge. I've got to find the answers to this challenge. And so agile sellers are adept at taking problems and then turning them into challenges and then focusing on how do we solve the challenge. And it opens up creativity. It opens up numerous options. It makes you aware. Your brain makes you aware of things in the past that are similar as well as things that are occurring in your environment at this particular moment in time that could be of use to you. So it's a phenomenon that is just fascinating. It's when serendipity hits, but it's not serendipity that occurred when you discover something. It's literally your brain is working in the background. So the key is to take problems, turn them into challenges so that you can get your whole, all of you, working to achieve what you're really trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. I've also heard people say challenges are opportunities, but it's that mindset.
Yes, it's a mindset. And the mindset, if your brain normally looks at things as challenges, it is not like you're a lost cause. It is simply that you need to stop and correct yourself more often. And you need to realize that it's just simply a mindset. It's not the truth. It's really not the truth. You know, if somebody else came into your job, they might be able to find a way to make that goal, you know, or they might be able to find a way to land that account. It's just you don't know the way right now. And so you can't let yourself get caught in the fact that a problem is an absolute truth. It is, there's an issue there that you don't have the answers with right now, and you have to keep reminding yourself, how can I? What other ways can I? Who might have advice that can help me with this? And turn it into the challenge, and don't get sucked down into it. And if you do, stop yourself from that thinking and correct yourself.
Right. I've been doing that myself. I've started to feel overwhelmed. I think, okay, I can do this. I've done it before. I can do this now.
Yep, exactly.
Well, thanks, Jill. Thanks for talking with us today. And before we leave, do you have any final comments or advice you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I just really want to stress how important being an agile learner is. It is the master skill that will keep you successful in whatever endeavor that you do in your life. And it's not something people have talked about, but it is crucial. In order to be the differentiator, which I said earlier, top sellers are differentiators. They differentiate based on themselves, who they are. They're always learning. I mean, that's the same thing. We're tying it all together. In order to be the difference, to be the one that customers decide, I want to work with him or her, then you have to become the magic weapon, which means you have to be on top of your game, which means you have to be an agile learner. I mean, it all ties together.
Right. All right, great. Thanks, Jill. Thanks for joining us today.
Truly my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And a quick note to our listeners, if you'd like to learn more about Jill, you can visit jillconrath.com, and there you can get information about her books, watch her videos, read her blog, and much more. So thank you again, Jill, and thank you to everyone for listening to this Rain Group Expert Series podcast.